good morning because God is sovereign over our lives. Every person that is here today, every person watching the live stream, either live or recorded later, is God has planned for us to be where we are, hearing the Word of God preached, worshiping together, and loving one another. And loving one another has been a theme, both in Romans that we are studying and in the greater Word of God. Loving one another, loving our neighbor, is in fact, according to the Word of God, the fulfilling of the entire law, a fulfilling of the command of the Word of God itself. So that when we love each other, we are in fact doing nothing wrong. We are in fact doing everything right. So let us pray and look at this passage about how we can love one another. Dear Lord, Father, we're so thankful for your love of us, Father, the love that you give us, both in your sovereign providence over our lives, caring for us and taking care of us. Father, sending the rain on the just and the unjust, as it says in your word, Father, as Jesus said, and also sending your Son to die for us, Father, taking the just punishment for our sin upon himself, so that we might not have to experience that just punishment, the terrors of hell, ourselves, Father. Instead, we are free, free from your wrath, free to love one another, free to love our neighbor through the work of your Spirit, which indeed you love us by sending your Spirit into our hearts, Father, and enabling us to obey your commandments by loving our neighbor, Father. Help us to do this. Help us to see your word and to learn about this wonderful fulfilling of the law that comes through love. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 13, verse 8, our passage starts today. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Point number one. When we love one another, the law of God is fulfilled in us. This is not so that we can earn our salvation. Instead, God gives us the gift of faith. And the faith that we have works itself out in love for others. Point number one. When we love one another, the law of God is fulfilled in us. This is not so that we can earn our salvation, or we cannot. Instead, God gives us the gift of faith, and the faith that we have works itself out in love for others. So we see we cannot earn our salvation. There's nothing we can do to merit the goodness of God, the salvation from his wrath. In fact, we have sinned, and we continue to sin. So we have earned the wrath of God, his just punishment. We deserve eternal hell. And that is a sad reality. We can't earn our salvation. We can't do work which will earn our salvation, even works of love. Because we can't love perfectly as Jesus did, and because we cannot love perfectly, we can't earn our salvation from this hell. Instead, when we are believing in Christ, trusting in him, we know that this trust, this belief, comes as a gift from God. God elects us. says in Romans chapter 9, and he chooses us to give us his gift of faith, repentance, and faith. And through repentance and faith, we are saved. We believe in what Jesus has done, in his perfect righteous life, his righteousness becomes our own. In his atoning death, he takes the punishment of hell upon himself on the cross, so that we don't have to take it ourselves. We trust in his atonement. And then the work of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to finally fulfill this law by loving our neighbor, by loving one another. Not perfectly in this life, but increasingly through the work of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6, speaks about this process. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, here we're talking about a work, the work of circumcision, if we base our salvation on the act of circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you, Paul. So if we're basing our salvation on some sort of work, whether it be circumcision or even works of love that we do, and we're depending upon those works in order to save us, then Christ will be of no advantage to us. And what does that mean? That means that we will be headed for hell, because we're basing our salvation on something that will not save. Paul goes on, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. If we're trusting in the law and our works of the law, then we have fallen away from the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and we ultimately cannot be saved, because it is only through trusting in Christ that we can be saved. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, not our own. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith working through love. If we attempt to earn our salvation through works of the law, then the work of Christ will not be of any advantage to us. It is because of the work of Christ that we can love one another. It is not our own righteousness, even through love, that enables us to be saved from the wrath of God. If we attempt to earn our salvation through work, even through acts of love, we are bound to keep the whole law, every point of it. And we cannot keep the whole law perfectly because we are sinners. Yet through the work of the Spirit in our hearts, which is purchased by the blood of Christ on the cross, as he died to take the punishment for our sin, faith can work through love and fulfill the law. But what is the law? Paul goes on in Romans 13, verse 9, and tells us, for the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Point number two. Every one of the commandments in God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, either teaches us how to love God or how to love our neighbor. Even all the other commandments in the Old Testament openly point us how to love God to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Once again, he says this is the law and the prophets. This is the entire Old Testament law of God and the prophets, the whole Old Testament. And this is also included in that is the Word of God in the New Testament. This is the commandment of God throughout the entire Scripture, to love your neighbor. So it says whatever we wish that others would do to us. And ultimately, if we are thinking perfectly clearly, we want people to point us to Jesus. We want people to point us to God. We want people to tell us how we can serve God, how we can love Him. And by loving them, by not sinning against them, we are pointing them to Jesus. Doing no wrong to our neighbor doesn't simply mean that we ignore them and leave them alone so that we can avoid causing them wrong. Of course, if we avoid them entirely, we can avoid causing them wrong. But that is not what Paul is talking about. When Christ saves us, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to fulfill the law by treating others as we would want to be treated, with love and respect and patience and care. Point number four. Whereas, before we were Christians, we were slaves to our sinful desires, and we constantly did wrong to our neighbors. In Christ, we have been set free to fulfill the law by serving one another through love. Point number four. Whereas, before we were Christians, we were slaves to our sinful desires, and we constantly did wrong to our neighbors. In Christ, we have been set free to fulfill the law by serving one another through love. You'll remember in the beginning part of Romans that it talks about how we were slaves to our sins before we became Christians. And when we were slaves to our sins, self-centeredness and wanting to do what was best for us was constantly in our minds. Of course, we didn't even do what was best for us because we sinned against others against God, and that led us away from Christ, and that caused us to have to face the punishment of God in hell without Christ as our Savior. But we were slaves to this, and we cared more about what we thought was good for us instead of what was good for those around us. But in Christ, we have now been set free from our slavery to sin. And now we can fulfill the law through love because of the power of the Holy Spirit working inside our hearts. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15, continues to talk about this reality. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, meaning that don't use this freedom that Christ has given you to turn back around into another form of slavery, as an opportunity to fulfill your own sinful desires. Instead, use this freedom, he says, but through love, serve one another. Care about one another. Take care of one another. Point each other to Jesus. Serve one another the best that you can. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, Paul says in Galatians 12. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He warns them. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul warns us, guys, in our flesh, we will tend to fall back in sinful attitudes, fighting and devouring one another. But this is not the way that Christ has set before us to fulfill His law. If this fighting, this desire to have our own way, this fighting and devouring, is nearer to us now than when we first believed. What does he mean here? We'll see in point number five. Point number five. Paul is both warning us and encouraging us that the time is short before we pass from this life into Christ's kingdom. Our final salvation is closer now than when we first came to know Christ. So we should expect that we are growing in our spiritual maturity and our love for one another. Point number five. Paul is both warning us and encouraging us that the time is short before we pass from this life into Christ's kingdom. Our final salvation is closer now than when we first came to know Christ. So we should expect that we are growing in our spiritual maturity and our love for one another. We see this reality in Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. As we grow in our spiritual maturity, we should be continually growing in the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is true love. We should be continually crucifying the flesh by nailing it, by being it nailed to the cross at Christ's crucifixion, and being done with it through the work of the Spirit, with its sinful passions and desires, as we live by the Spirit who lives inside of us. The time when we were conceited or selfish, provoking one another into greater and greater anger and lust and hatred and envying one another should be passed up. That was before we became Christians. We now have the power of the Spirit. We have our faith working through love in Christ. We are in Christ, and we can now be done with these selfish desires and love one another, love our neighbor, because of that Spirit, because of the Spirit's work inside of us. Paul goes on in Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off chapter 11 shows us the example of Christ. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, we're participating in the Holy Spirit, living in it. Any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, Paul says, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit or pride, but in humility count others as more significant than yourself. So count others as more important than you are. Care about them before you care even about yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, not just our interests, but also to the interests of others, caring about others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, for we are in Christ now, because of the faith that God has worked in our hearts. We have been united to Christ in his work. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, not giving up his godhood, for Jesus has always been and always will be God, but he emptied himself of his privilege to be in the position of God, and came and became a man. By taking the form of a servant, or in the original language that word is slave, he took the form of a slave. He washed the feet of his disciples, which was a slave job. Feet were the dirtiest part of the body in the first century, and only a slave would even think to touch the feet. Yet Christ became, he took the form of a slave and washed his disciples' feet. Being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that he could take the punishment that we deserve in our place, so that he could take hell upon himself and go through the misery and torture of eternal hell on the cross, humbling himself even to do that so that he could love us by taking away our sin. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue in the end will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you have not truly confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, by all means, confess now. Don't confess when it's too late. Submit your life unto Jesus, because you will submit one way or another. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can love in the way that he loves. And if there is no touch of that love in your life, then you don't know him. And you need to confess that he is Lord. Repent of your sin and trust in what he has done. What has he done? He became righteous life where he never sinned, where he perfectly loved God, his Father, at every moment, and perfectly loved his neighbor. And when we trust in him, we receive his perfect righteousness as our own. Then he went to the cross, taking the just punishment for the sins of those who would believe in him. He took the sin that we had upon himself and received the punishment for it. The hell of God's wrath. For hours on the cross, he took it and satisfied the wrath of God, so that all who trust in him for it, he has taken your punishment. Then he rose again on the third day, so that when he rose, those who believe in him receive new spiritual life now, so that we can love through the work of the Spirit coming to live in our hearts. A new physical life in the world to come when Christ returns to set up his kingdom. Paul warns us at the end. He says, Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, let us walk properly as in the daytime, as people who have been saved already, as people who have the Holy Spirit, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But note that he sets up quarreling and jealousy in the same place as orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality. So don't think that you're not watching porn, you're not lusting, you're not having sex outside of marriage, you're not getting drunk and having orgies. So therefore, the quarreling and jealousy that's in your heart is somehow different quality. No, he says, be done with all of it. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Point number 7. By putting on Christ through trust in him, we can avoid the sinful activities of the past. There can be no provision for the flesh in the Christian life. Walk in the light of the love of Jesus Christ and fulfill the law by loving God and loving others. Point number 7. By putting on Christ through trust in him and what he has done, we can avoid the sinful activities of the past. There could be no provision for the flesh in the Christian life. Walk in the light of the love of Jesus Christ and fulfill the law by loving God and loving one another. 3 points of application. Application point number one. Understand that even though love is a fulfilling of the law, the only saving love we can have will be as a result of our salvation and not as the cause of our salvation. Application point number 1. Understand that even though love is a fulfilling of the law, the only saving love we can have will be as a result of our salvation and not as the cause of our salvation. So we cannot attempt God, before the Holy Spirit enters our hearts, before we are saved, we can have no real love at all because of the total sinfulness of our human heart before God. We can have reflections of real love because we are made in the image of God. But without the true work of the Spirit in our heart, we cannot love in this fulfilling sense at all. So that the only salvific, saving love that we can have in our heart is because of what God has done in us as a result of our salvation, not as the cause of our salvation. If we're depending on it as the cause, then we don't know Christ at all, because it's about what He has done and not what we have done. Application point number two. As we seek to love our neighbor, do so with our eyes on Christ, as He has fulfilled the law and given us an example of what true love looks like. Application point number two. As we seek to love our neighbor, do so with our eyes on Christ, as He has fulfilled the law and given us an example of what true love looks like. If we're having trouble knowing what it is to love our neighbor and how it is we can love our neighbor, simply look to Christ. Christ in His Word. Christ in the example of the apostles and prophets. Christ in the example of His moral law. We can see Christ throughout His Word, in the Law and the Prophets, in the New Testament epistles and gospels. And we can see what it means to love by looking at Christ. So if you have any doubt as to how to love your neighbor, now that you have the Spirit, look to Jesus Christ as our example, because He is our example of great love. Application point number three. Make a conscious effort. You actually have to have an effort. It's not just the Holy Spirit working magically through you. The Spirit is working through you, and because He is working through you, you will make a conscious effort to put off the works of darkness that characterize our lives before we became believers, and then put on the love of Christ, which God is working in our hearts through His Spirit. Point number three. Make a conscious effort to put off the works of darkness that characterize our lives before we became believers, and then put on the love of Jesus Christ, which God is working in our hearts through His Spirit. The Bible commands us to put off the works of darkness, meaning to fight those sins in your heart that come between you and your love for your neighbor, your love for one another. Fight those sins. Make a conscious effort. Put off the works of darkness in your heart. And put on the love of Jesus Christ by focusing on Him, by trusting in Him, by loving Him, by cherishing Him, by looking at Him as He loves us. Put on His love as God works through our hearts in His Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, help us to be done with the work of darkness, Father. You have given us the power in Your Spirit. If we are just repenting of our sins and putting our trust in Jesus. Father, your Spirit is in us. Father, and He, the Spirit, is working to make us into the image of Christ. Though we cannot perfectly love one another in this life, you have given us the power to love one another with a wonderful love that comes from Christ. And we can do it as we make the effort to live as Christ lived and follow in